You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Man, we've got a lot of stuff to get to on the program today. You like football? Good, because that's all we're talking about on the show. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, will join us, sportsmemo.com. It's already week 5 of the Canadian Football League. We have an interesting game on the board this evening. The undefeated Edmonton Eskimos laying 3.5 points against the winless Hamilton Tiger Cats. We break it down with Babano. We're now officially just 2 weeks away from the start of the National Football League preseason, which is a good thing, man, because it means the regular season is rapidly approaching. Fantasy football fever is in the freaking air. Chris Meany will join us in studio. We're going to talk some fantasy football with Chris Meany. A lot of fantasy football news and decisions to make after the last couple of days. So we break that down with Chris Meany. It's interesting. We did a Chicago Bear preview on the show yesterday, and I was reading the comments on YouTube, and somebody said, when are you doing an Atlanta Falcon preview? Today, we're talking Atlanta Falcon football. You know, it's interesting. The NFC South is normally a division in which we see huge turnarounds on a yearly basis. You almost just want to take the team that was in last place the year before and say, you know what, this team's going to win the division. You know, this year, Tampa's the big trendy team. And, you know, I was late for the wedding and early for the funeral last year when it came to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was all on board, the Bucs are trendy, this and all that. And now this year, it's like trendy part 2.0. It's not happening, all right? I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are an overrated football team, actually, coming into this year. And I think the Atlanta Falcons are an underrated football team, if that's possible, at least by the mainstream. The odds makers aren't screwing around when it comes to the Falcons. And in fact, they have the strangest win total number I've ever seen. And I've been doing this a long time. It's a bizarre number. We'll break it down a little bit later on in the program. Now, speaking of football, one of the greatest running backs of all time, O.J. Simpson, is speaking right now to the parole board outside of Las Vegas in Lovemark, or Carson City, Lovemark prison, so to speak. And listen, it was a slam dunk, man, that he was going to get set free. Even if they say, yeah, okay, you can go, he doesn't get released until October the 1st. Why? Isn't that the stupidest thing ever? You're a free man, but not yet. You know, yeah, you're not yet, not till October the 1st. Then we'll let you out. Money, you know, penal system worth a lot of cash. So O.J. Simpson's up there. It was minus 475, minus 450 earlier in the week. We were talking about it. It closed at minus 750 that he's going to get released. Well, if you're watching this right now, O.J.'s like, yeah, he was like a 28-point football favorite. O.J.'s down, man, right now, right? It's like 35-14 for the parole board. It's not going well. And I tell you what, it's a damn good thing that O.J. Simpson didn't speak and testify at that whole, stab thing. Because it wouldn't have ended well for him, all right? Like, the dude asked him, what were you thinking that night? It was basically like putting it on a tee for O.J. What were you thinking that night, O.J., at the Palace Station Hotel? Putting it on the tee. All you have to say is, you know, I regret it every night. I can't believe, it's the stupidest thing I've done, you know, besides killing my wife and, a waiter at a restaurant. But don't say that. Whatever you do. Like, I haven't seen a parole hearing go as, like, this bad since Sideshow Bob, like on The Simpsons. Sideshow Bob, what do you plan on doing when you get released from prison? Killing Bart Simpson. All right, all O.J. has to say is, you know, and I'm going to go out and get everybody else that's pissed me off, too. He got mad at the parole board guy. Then he remembered, he went back into O.J. sort of acting, you know, feel sorry for me. And it's weird, because I actually do sort of feel sorry for O.J. Simpson. He looks old and frail, man. And the prisons haven't treated him well, even though he's not getting beat up or anything like that. And incidentally, O.J. Simpson, they've asked, everyone's talking about O.J.'s time. What has he done in there? Supposedly, he's like a great fantasy football player. We could use the ratings. I'm just saying. Come on. Who wouldn't tune in? Morenci and Simpson every Friday with the DraftKings lineup? Like, it's gold, man. That's gold. Even I wouldn't do that. Like, you know, you're talking to a man that Lindsay Lohan's father used to be a regular on my show, right? I've done the sleaze thing. In fact, I've had Kato Kaelin on before as well. But I'm older and more mature right now. I'm not going to go down that like D-list celebrity type of stuff, right? My Perez Hilton days are done. All right, so OJ, I don't know if OJ's getting out. They want to let him out, but OJ's screwing this thing up pretty big. And like I said, you sort of feel sorry for him. You're like, man, it was his stuff. It was his stuff. Like, this whole thing is ridiculous, man. But then you remember he did get away with a double homicide. So it sort of balances itself out. I don't know. All right, so we got a lot of stuff to get to on the program today. All right, remember last week we took a look at the Major League Baseball standings during the Major League Baseball All-Star break. And, you know, one of the teams that we focused in on was the Chicago Cubs and the fact that the Cubs were still minus 200 favorites to win the NL Central, despite the fact they were 5.5 back at the break. Well, it's clear the odds makers knew that the Chicago Cubs were about to turn the corner because the Cubs are now riding a 6-game win streak, and it's amazing, man. Look, here we are right now. We're on the Thursday, you know, 1 week coming out of the All-Star game, and the 5.5 is now 1.5. Like, does anybody believe that the Cubs aren't going to be in first place by the end of the weekend, the way things are going? The Cubs are starting to come alive, and the Brew Crew are starting to look over their shoulders, and the Cubs have that pedigree to get it done. Now, what's amazing to me is, and I thought it was crazy last week. I was almost tempted by the Brewers, but I knew the Brewers would fall apart. The odds weren't good enough at plus 205. But it's amazing to me the Chicago Cubs were minus 200 favorites to win a division at the All-Star break, down 5.5. They're on a 6-game winning streak. It's evident that Milwaukee are going to crumble right now. The beer's gone flat with the Brew Crew City team here. And now the Cubs are only minus 175 as of today. Now, this is one of these instances where it's like, man, I wish I was patient and I had money in the account and, you know, I was willing to wait until the end of September, but I pretty much am. I got to figure out how to get in on this. The Chicago Cubs are now minus 175 to win the division. They're winning the division, people, all right? They're starting to light it up right now. At the All-Star break, we talked about it. They were hitting 231 with runners in scoring position. They're hitting like 220 with runners in scoring position with two out. Those were anomalies that weren't going to continue throughout a Major League Baseball season. Now, Chris Bryant was hitting like 182 with runners in scoring position. That's not going to continue for 162 games. The Chicago Cubs are back right now. And I never use the term free money, but they're giving it away right now. The Cubs are going to win this division. I don't know, maybe we put it in a parlay with Floyd Mayweather or something like that. You know, Chicago Cubs win a division, Floyd Mayweather. The Shark beats Michael Phelps. And whatever else freak show we can tack on to this parlay. But I'll tell you what, as an L.A. Dodger fan, I don't like this, right? I wanted to see the Cubs down and out. And you don't think that Dusty Baker and the Washington Nationals wanted to see the Cubs down and out as well? Because I'll tell you what, as good as the Los Angeles Dodgers are right now, and they're freaking awesome right now, you know, they reset, man. They reset the table. And as fired up as I am for football, and we're now just 2 weeks away from the first preseason game, I tell you what, everybody's fired up for the freaking Fall Classic. Game Time Decisions continues.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. As I tweeted out earlier in the day, if you like football, we're talking football, man, on the show today. Chris Meaney's going to join us in studio, and I always enjoy talking fantasy football with Chris Meaney. We got Babano. We're talking week 5 of the Canadian Football League. I've got my Atlanta Falcon team preview. We've got some CFL picks for you on the show today. So football, and more football. We're now officially just 2 weeks away from the start of the National Football League preseason, and we're also just 2 weeks away from the first ever International Football Betting Conference powered by SBR in San Jose, Costa Rica. A lot of the world's top handicappers and odds makers and big-time executives like, you know, Cantor Gaming. And it's a gaming convention. It's a gaming convention, an expo, and a seminar to help people win money. Very similar to the fantasy football and the fantasy show that we're going to be doing in Toronto. A big fantasy show. Michael Bisping's going to be there. All kinds of great fantasy studs. Very, very similar, but this is for bettors. No fantasy. This is just betting. So if you want to make money, actually, you can watch it online. If you're a loser that can't afford to go to Costa Rica. Just kidding. So, yeah, if you can't go to Costa Rica, it's going to be all streaming online and stuff. Sportsbookreview.com. One of the speakers actually going to be Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. He's part of one of the roundtable discussions. I will be there telling people how to bridge the gap between fantasy football betting and real betting. So, in other words, we're going to focus in on props, basically. We're going to talk a lot of props. But let's bring in Ian Cameron right now. What's going on, Babano? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Morenci. We'll get to CFL in a second, but I do got to mention it since you brought it up. This IFBC, just how great this conference has the potential to be. Lots of great speakers. Teddy, Mark Lawrence, friends of the program, friends of me, going to be there. Clay Travis going to be there. Matthew Holt, VP of Cantor Gaming, is going to be there. He gives you great information. Gil Alexander from the VSIN Network is going to be there. It's just a great guest list. Ed Fang, who is a good, smart sports bettor and handicapper with a PhD as well. He's going to give you a really good intellectual side of sports betting. Of course, Morenci going to be there. He's going to bring the rage. He's going to bring the entertainment. He's going to bring the get everyone fired up quotient for this conference. It's going to be a good event. Looking forward to it in Costa Rica in just a couple of weeks. SBR is doing a good thing with this.
Yeah, football season. It's a busy time of the year, but better to be busy than dead. We've got Costa Rica. We've got the fantasy show. We've got to go to Vegas to get into all these contests. A lot of traveling coming up before the football season, and the season's right around the corner. We're already in week five right now in the Canadian Football League. And one theme of the year so far in the CFL, 12 games have been decided by 8 points or less this year. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now. I haven't done the math, but I imagine, Babano, if we did a seven-point teaser with the underdog to the under in every CFL game this year, you're probably up. It's probably won about 75-80% of the time, man.
You've probably done quite well. I know favorites have done a little bit better the last couple of weeks, a little bit of a leveling off in terms of the early success of the underdogs. But, favorite covered last night barely with the Ottawa Red Blacks, but they got the job done. That's going to level off. You're going to start to see some favorites cover. I actually think there's a couple favorites on this board that are going to get the job done this week. The unders, you're right, they keep cashing another under last night, especially first half unders. You're seeing these first quarters, especially really low scoring. Things open up third quarter, particularly fourth quarter. Once we get into the second half, it's been a big pattern early on.
It really has been. So let's get into tonight's football game. And I know you wrote about this in your write-up for everyone over at sportsmemo.com. You look at the Hamilton Tiger Cats, your Hamilton Tiger Cats. You're a season ticket holder. You know, there were high expectations coming into the year. The wheels have fallen off. They're the only winless team in the Canadian Football League right now. And they've lost every game by double digits. And I saw Kent Austin saying, we've got to shorten these games. He's like, we just don't have the offense. We don't have the personnel. We can't trade points with these teams. It's not working. And, you know, Kent Austin was one of the greatest CFL quarterbacks ever. I mean, this guy liked to air it out. You know, he wants to be able to put points up on the board, but he just can't do it. And it's going to be tough, man. The Edmonton Eskimos, you know, arguably the best defense in the Canadian Football League right now, Babano. And you know, Hamilton stated point blank, we want to shorten the game. We need to run the ball. We need to hang on to the ball more. Hard to run the ball in the Canadian Football League. Also a lot of dinks and dunks, but Hamilton's coming into this game tonight trying to shorten the clock, man.
They are. And really, that's the only reason you'd want to bet a Hamilton game under. But I really value what the coaches' quotes are saying, what coordinators are saying. That means that's like worth its weight in gold, in my opinion. If you can get quotes from coaches and coordinators with distinct game plans, with distinct strategies being revealed for a particular game. And let's be honest, Ken Austin's no dummy. I know it's been a bad start for his football team, but he's seen enough of this inept secondary and this inept defense. So what do you do when you've got personnel issues? Abdul Kinney and Emmanuel Davis, top two cornerbacks, they haven't played the first three games. They're not likely to return tonight for this game. What do? You got to keep your offense on the field longer. You got to sustain drives. You got to melt the clock, time-consuming drives. Hamilton's had way too many 2-3 minute drives. They've got to have more 6-7-8 minute drives. You know, get this time of possession up. You know, move the chains gradually.
But it's easier said than done, right, Babano? Because the thing is, the Ticats are last out of 40 offensive categories in the CFL. They're dead last in 20 of them, including points scored and yards gained. So, like, I don't know, like, basically, it's sort of like the old Princeton style of basketball. You have to milk the play clock. The Dallas Cowboys do this, actually. Even as talented as the Cowboys are, Garrett's the master of that, man. He just likes to milk the clock, let the play clock go right down to 1 second before you snap the ball, shorten the game, let's just keep our defense off the field and take our time moving down the field. It's a hell of a lot easier when you got that offensive line they do. They're in tough tonight. It was 3. It's up to 3.5 right now, Babano. You know, I'm tempted. It's a live dog. I know you guys love the Tabbies there, and historically they've been a pretty good home team. But without being stated, I don't see it. Too many injuries. Eskimos are 3-0, and they're not really even playing all that well. The Eskimos are due for a breakout game. We should note that Darius Bowman is out of tonight's game for Edmonton, which just sort of helps the under a little bit as well, too.
Yeah, they're going to miss Bowman. There's no question about it. Now, the good news for them is this. Brandon Zylstra has been fantastic for them at receiver for the Eskimos, so he's got a chance to step up, get some
great
more
draft, great DraftKings pick tonight, that kid.
Yeah, exactly. Great targets for Mike Riley. But even this Edmonton offense, they've struggled in the red zone at times. This defense for Edmonton's been a surprise to me. I didn't think this defense was great going into the season. They're down two key starting linebackers as well, including J.C. Sherritt, who's out for the season. And they've still managed to be, you know, number 2 in the league in total yards allowed, number 1 in the CFL passing yards allowed Edmonton so far. And that matters. Ken Austin, a more pass-heavy offense. Although I do expect the Ticats to go more to the ground game. Ross Scheuermann has really run the football well the last couple weeks. He's taken the spot of C.J. Gable. They have a little more confidence, a little more faith in Scheuermann right now. So I expect Hamilton to really try to milk the clock. I agree with the under move as well in this game. 54 down to 52.5.
All right, so I'm on the Eskimos. I'm going to take the Eskimos, and I'm going to tease the Eskimos as well. Excuse me. I'm going to tease the Eskimos as well. See, Babano, I needed a glass of water. When I was coughing, you went for the water. It's pretty slick.
Yeah, here you go. Here you go. Drink.
Yeah, I'm like Marco Rubio. I need the quick. I better get some bottled water up here from now on. We need fans, bottled water, but
like George Costanza, I need some water.
Yeah, water here. Water. Water. Yeah, so I'm going with the Eskimos. I'm going to tease the Eskimos up to +3.5 to under 59.5 as well. I mean, I see it a lower scoring game. Might be a little bit close, but you know, there's too many things wrong with Hamilton right now. I don't see them ready to break free tonight and win this game.
I'll be a Hamilton fan at the game tonight, not a Hamilton better. Let's put it that way.
All right, so, you know, a really fun game, probably the game of the week this week in the CFL. Well, last night was pretty entertaining as well. The Bombers and the Lions. We've got the BC Lions -4.5. Totals 56. This is turning into a real nice rivalry over the years. They're not natural rivals per se, but the teams don't like each other. So, like, it's starting, you know, it's always fun football when they play each other. There's been some high-scoring games over the years as well, Babano. And there's been a real pattern and a real theme of the Bombers just have the Lions number. As of late. So we're getting 4.5 points with a Bomber team they've covered five of the last games and they've won 4 of them outright. And Jonathan Jennings, questionable for this game, but Travis Lule stepped in, man. Dude threw for 436 yards last week against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Bombers are giving up 27.3 points per game. Of course, you know, weather won't be a factor here. I think we could have some points on the board in this one, but I like the dog in the over here.
Yeah, I was looking over as well. I just didn't think the number was good enough for me. 56.5, pretty high, but it has been high scoring. And Winnipeg, you're right, 4-1 straight up, 5-0 against the spread head-to-head against BC. Last year, West Division semifinal. What a great game it was. Winnipeg losing 32-31 in BC. It was a great football game. Back and forth, Nichols and Jennings, the two quarterbacks, putting on
a
show.
Didn't they play a regular season game like that, though, right before the playoffs, too, where it was like 38-36 or something? I don't have the scores in front of me. The last, let's say, five times they played, but there's been some track meets and some shootouts.
Yeah, there's no doubt there has been. I'm just looking at it right now. There's been a bunch of high scoring. It's 4-0 to the over last four.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yep. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they just seem to match up. They're fun games.
I've got concerns about Lule here. Lule is going to be the quarterback. Jennings not ready to go for this game. He came in cold off the bench against a pathetic, piss-poor Hamilton defense and terrible secondary. Let's see him do it now. I mean, he's going to be the starter now. Winnipeg knows he's going to be the starter. They've known all week. They're going to be able to defensive game plan for him. And one thing about Lule, and the reason why he's been a backup, not a starter the last couple of years, inconsistency. You'd have one good game and a bad next game. I think this could be the bad game coming up for Travis Lule. Now, Winnipeg's defense, not great shakes by any stretch, but it's better than Hamilton's. I like the way TJ Heath is playing in this Winnipeg secondary. He's been fantastic for them. Couple interceptions, knocking balls down, pass knockdowns. It's been very good in that secondary. Going to be tougher, I think, for Lule here. And Winnipeg, much more rested, and maybe a flat spot for BC. You know, you play three straight games in the Eastern time zone on the road. You win them all. You're 0-1 against the only West team you've played this year. That was Edmonton, Morenci, back in week one. We know that game well. I was at your place for that one. Frustrated the hell out of me.
Yeah, 30-27. I see a similar type of score here. They're going to get up into the, you know, high 20s, low 30s, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be high scoring. I'd certainly lean over. I was hoping for a better number, but would still only play the over from a totals perspective. And I do like Winnipeg. You lose a lot of value. It was 8.5. It's 4.5, but still a little wiggle room. I'd look to the Bombers. They're going to be in this game, I think.
Speaking of high totals, the Riders and the Stamps, very high total, 58 points. Extremely high. Biggest spread of the week as well. The Stampeders are minus 10. Riders are coming off the bye. They beat the Ticats in their last game. Stampeders coming off their annual flat spot loss to the Montreal Alouettes in Montreal. One thing I've noticed here, there's some back and forth between Dickinson and Chris Jones, the head coaches. Dave Dickinson, Calgary Stampeder head coach, Chris Jones, Saskatchewan head coach. Back and forth about Spygate and spying on each other. And then I see that Chris Jones is blaming, he's accusing Kent Austin of stuff. It seems to me that Chris Jones is just a jerk. Like, and all the coaches are saying, that's just him, man. Like, he's just, that's what he does. He accuses everybody of cheating all the time. And it's amazing because we all know the Riders are the biggest cheaters in the CFL. These guys, I had like 100 guys on the payroll last couple of years. They bend the rules all the time. And you know Jones, if Jones is accusing everyone else of like spying in practice, because like CFL practices are open to the public, guys. The CFL, they want fans and engagement and stuff. So you can actually go check out a CFL practice if you want. And so they've closed it. Jones is like, no more, none of this crap. We're not letting people in. But, you know, we have to because the owner wants me to. He's freaking out about this stuff. So Dickinson's like, close practice this week. No one's allowed in because of this Spygate crap. Either way, they don't like each other. And I'll tell you what, for all you fantasy players out there playing DraftKings, Kamar Jordan, this kid's becoming a breakout star. It looks like he could be one of the best wide receivers in the Canadian Football League by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Chris Jones, he's probably saying out loud to everyone within earshot of him, you know, we're closing these practices. We're not going to let anybody spy on our football team. You know, going to be shut things down here. You know, and Chris Jones to me is just, he's got a lot to prove with the Saskatchewan team. In my opinion, you know, he's supposed to be a defensive guru, and the Saskatchewan team hasn't exactly played stellar defense for a lot of this time that he's been head coach and GM there. So there's a lot to prove. And Saskatchewan's got a lot to prove to me in this game. I do not like going against Calgary off a loss, period, end of story. And, of course, they're off that loss against Montreal last week. You know, and look at the way the matchups have been. Montreal had Calgary's number. They covered last week. Ottawa had Edmonton's number. They covered last week. You know, we've talked about Winnipeg, BC, where Winnipeg's had BC's number point spread-wise. Yep. You know, these have been working out pretty well, these head-to-head meetings where you can find teams that have had the recent edge. They've been covering. You know, Calgary now is another team. You know, they played pretty good for the most part against Saskatchewan in recent years. And I don't want to go against Bo Levi Mitchell off a loss. I see him on Twitter right after the Montreal game, 2 hours. This is unacceptable. We've got to be better next week. We can't have this kind of performance again. This guy cares. This guy really means a lot to him, his craft, winning and playing at a high level. I think you're going to see a great Bo Levi Mitchell here this week. Calgary 12-0 straight up, 10-2 against the spread. Off a loss in the regular season since 2013. That ain't a track record I'm messing with.
Thanks for the time, Babano. You can follow Babano at Twitter at Babano. Get his picks over at sportsmemo.com. Watch his videos over at SBR, sportsbookreview.com. Thanks for the time.
All right, Moretti, always good. Have a good one. Good luck to you.
Take a quick break. Chris Meaney joins us in studio. We'll catch up with the OJ parole hearing. We'll talk some fantasy football.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We welcome Chris Meaney into the studio, who's dressed a lot more professionally than the parole board member in Las Vegas right now. It took me a couple of minutes. I was like, what's up with this guy's tie? And sort of looked closer. It's like, this dude is wearing a Kansas City Chiefs tie. He's the parole board hearing member. That one of the guys, like, seriously, there's like a four-person panel.
Yeah.
Two women, two men. And if it's not, it has to be unanimous with them. And if they're not, they bring in another two county commissioners that are watching via video feed right now. One of the dudes that is deciding OJ's fate is wearing a Kansas City Chiefs tie and a suit. It looks like he got it at Walmart for about $19.99.
And the tie, too.
He made Rob Ford, like, rest in peace.
It's crazy.
But, like, he makes Rob Ford look like suave.
Oh, I couldn't believe that when I saw the tie. We were talking about it in the office. Yeah, it certainly is. We're talking about the office. A couple people are like, you're looking into it too much. It's not that big of a deal. It's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if he should be wearing a Chiefs tie. He shouldn't be wearing a football tie at all.
You're deciding people's futures.
Yeah. It's almost like
you get it. You're a Chiefs fan. Like, we're not telling you, hey, don't have a Kansas City Chief like sticker on your bumper.
Right.
You ought to have a Kansas City Chief license plate.
But to wear a sports tie for
a former professional football athlete.
Yeah. Speaking of the Knicks, it looks like Derrick Rose might be headed to the Cavs.
Yeah, I know, but it's like me. Like, I'm not showing up as the pro hearing like this.
No.
I'm on a sports show.
Yeah. You got to try to look presentable.
Like, baffling. Almost as baffling as OJ getting mad at them. It's like, dude, like,
just calm down.
Like, he's like, no, that's not true.
They're serving up the softballs for him, and he's just getting frustrated and fed up.
No, they want to let him go, and he just keeps talking and talking and talking. And he's going back to, like, he's playing dumb. I don't know. What happened in 94? I don't know. I don't know. He goes, I've never hurt anyone in my life. I'd never even thought about hurting anyone in my life. I'm the least violent person ever. And it's like, there's like this elephant in the room here, OJ. You know, like, it's unbelievable. Reality television, the original reality television starts back. But you know how he spent his time in prison playing fantasy football?
Oh, yeah, well.
They said that he's an ardent fantasy football player. So I was thinking, you know what, Morenci and O.J. Simpson every Friday with a DraftKings lineup.
I'd like to see his lineup, his rankings. Get some hits. Oh, probably get some hits for sure. Yeah, I'd love to see his rankings. I'd like to see his running back rankings, what he thinks of the backs right now in the league. Like, guys like Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson.
I'd love to see him, too, like, after. DeMarco Murray, I'm coming for you. Hey, and if you don't get it done, I'm going to stab you, all right?
That'd be his slogan at the very end of every
video.
Although,
I got to give credit to Sam Losco, Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah, Caveman right? Sam, big
Caveman
fan.
Caveman Sam, great guy. He's actually works in the building. An unrelated company in the building, but I saw Sam before I came in today, and he goes, hey, this OJ guy, he's like, what I don't understand is when he stole his memorabilia, he goes, why didn't you just go buy some new memorabilia and sign it? It's not like it's one of the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Sam's it's always like, thinking ahead like that.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, he is.
Sam's a funny dude. Funniest thing Sam ever told me was, he goes, hey, Gabe, it's my birthday tonight. And he goes, my girlfriend's taking me to a swingers club. And I said, oh, really? He goes, yeah, we went last year. He goes, I just hope this year that it's not all male.
Man, he's good. He's got great jokes.
Sam's got, some of them are a little X-rated.
Most of them are, but I mean, he does. He's hopping around doing some stand-up comedy, you know, East Coast. He's from the East Coast. And they shot Trailer Park Boys in, like, my buddy's backyard, basically. And, you know, Sam said to me one time, we'll go home out east if you want to drive, but we won't measure in kilometers. We'll measure in something else. I'm like, I think I might pass here, Sam. I pass. I don't think I'm going to fly home. But thanks for the offer.
The Trailer Park Boys, great show.
Awesome.
All right, so let's jump in here. Some fantasy football. Big story of the week was Ezekiel Elliott. It's not if he's going to get suspended. It almost seems imminent that he will get suspended. So then it becomes a gamble. How long? Now, listen, I'm not playing in any big cash league. I'm not drafting right now. All of our cash leagues will be held drafts after week three of the preseason. So we'll have to see. But coming into this, is very similar to Le'Veon Bell last year.
Yeah.
I don't think he's getting six games. He'll probably be
there's some reports six, but I don't think six.
Yeah, two.
It's too much.
Let's say they say four and it turns into three. But what do you think of the strategy? And you know, I'm trying to pick people's brains and I'm trying to read as much as I can about this. And I see some fantasy experts stating, I'm going to jump on Elliott still and I'm just going to grab McFadden as well.
Yeah.
And then you basically have the Dallas running game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that strategy. Last year, Alfred Morris is one of my handcuffs. I mean, I held him, Gabe, all year long. And even if I didn't have Zeke, I still wanted Alfred Morris because that offensive line is so good. And if anything happens to Zeke, I mean, we saw Darren McFadden a couple years ago come top five in rushing because of that line. He didn't even play a full season that year. So it's not a bad strategy to do that. And as for where I'm going to rank Zeke, I mean, if he gets two games, I'm probably not going to move him all that much, to be honest with you.
I made a big mistake last year.
I'm not
Chris.
Going to. Bell went Melvin's four and finished
last
his RB3.
Last year I was anti-Bell, and it didn't help.
And it didn't help. No, you're right. I mean, you're not going to win your championship in the first few weeks. He's going to be suspended the first couple weeks, and he's going to have a bye, so he's going to miss three if he gets two games with that bye week. But you're going to have him when it matters down the stretch. I mean, if you want Zeke, I think that if he's going to get suspended, it's going to come with value. You're going to get him at value. People will pass on him. You go ahead and set up him the third player off the board. Maybe he's the sixth or the seventh or the eighth, and then go ahead and get a guy like McFadden to help you out the rest of the way, or get a guy like Danny Woodhead, who's going to be RB1 until Kenneth Dixon comes back, who's suspended four games. So there's lots of backs that have value later on in drafts that you can just plug in.
I want to talk about Dak Prescott a little bit. Everyone's talking about Elliott all the time. I don't think people realize. First off, I think there's a perception that maybe Dak got lucky in his first year, or that secondly, that great offensive line, anybody could have sort of went in there and did what he did. Or that he's not a top-tier fantasy quarterback either, or that he can't throw the ball down the field. I'll reiterate this, man. If you guys remember that playoff game against the Green Bay Packers,
he threw the ball down the field just fine.
Yeah, they were down 21-3 right away.
Yeah.
And it was like, they were like, well, you know, we'll see. Dak kind of manages games.
Yeah,
managing games, man.
Yeah.
He just ran out of time, dude.
He did, yeah. Like, he struggled in the first half, and that was it.
Yeah, he started to light it up as the game went on. Confidence, throwing the ball with aggression down the field. I think that he's going to be able to throw the ball very, very well this year. He's got a ton of weapons to work with. I'm high on Dak Prescott, but I came across a stat, and there's always new stats all the time, but here's an interesting stat, Chris. QB fantasy points per touch, all right, per touch. Dak Prescott was second in the NFL only to Matt Ryan last year, 0.63 fantasy points per touch, which actually was tied with Aaron Rodgers.
It's very impressive.
Yeah, and you know, so, you know, put up 20-plus fantasy points six times last year. He had 17 or more fantasy points in a football game. 22% of his production came from rushing the football, which is always an option. I see that he's ranked sort of in the 13th.
Yeah, I get him as a top 10.
13th ranked?
He's my QB9.
I think he is a top 10 quarterback.
He's my QB9. He was QB6. A lot of people will look at the percentage, what, third best completion percentage, third highest QB rating, his touchdown to interception ratio like 23-4. A lot of those numbers may come down a little bit, but at the same time, I mean, he really didn't get on page with Dez until the end. Five of his last six games, Dez had a touchdown. Three 100-yard games in his last five, and then you're talking about the playoff game where they connected twice, and Dez had over 130 yards. So he's got that weapon. I saw the connection down the stretch, and the line is great, and you just nailed it with the rushing yards. I mean, six rushing touchdowns. I mean, maybe he doesn't get six, but he should get four or five. He calls his own number. We said that plenty of times last season, and that's just a safety. It's a floor. People like to stay away from these quarterbacks because they don't think that they're flashy. They don't think they're going to throw the ball 30-plus times or get three or four touchdowns. But if this guy runs 50, 60, gets 50, 60 yards on the ground, gets a rushing touchdown, hooks up with Dez once, and throws to Beasley, who's a wicked target for him, he's going to rack up
Beasley's the
fantasy
points. King of the yards after the catch and
exactly,
stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's the thing, though. I've been talking about this a lot with breaking down the team by team previews, perception and reality.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, no, I want a Matt Stafford. Oh, I need Derek Carr.
Yeah.
I need Carr. I need Carr.
Well, the thing is, you're going to have to pay for Carr.
Yeah, you're going to take Carr
QB6,
up here.
QB6, according to Fantasy yeah. Football Calculator.
You're going to take Carr up here, and then you can get Tyrod Taylor down here. And Tyrod Taylor puts up consistently bigger numbers
yeah.
than Carr does, just not in the same fashion, which leads me to Tyrod.
Yeah.
Led the NFL in this stat I was just talking about in 2015. He was tied with Aaron Rodgers right after Dak Prescott. So Prescott was second. Tyrod Taylor, was tied with Aaron Rodgers. 35% of his production coming on the ground. Tyrod Taylor's another one that people just don't realize how much of a fantasy stud he was. Me and Cameron 2 Drew were talking about it. I know you've seen the same list
yeah, yeah.
with 20-plus point fantasy games from quarterbacks over the last 2 years. Tyrod Taylor's right there in the top five.
For him to finish as a QB1 after throwing 3,000 yards, he's done it back-to-back years. So 3,000 yards back-to-back years and no more than 20 touchdowns and still finishing as QB1 because he has 1,000 yards on the ground
Bill's
and 10 rushing touchdowns.
Bill's averaged 188 passing yards a game last year.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
still doing this.
In the last 2 years, 1,000 yards on the ground and 10
touchdowns.
Didn't
have many weapons,
no.
though.
No weapons.
I like Holmes this year. Nice big target.
Andre Holmes is a guy that I talked a lot about a couple years ago as like a great build, a nice body in the red zone, someone to look at. Obviously, you want Sammy Watkins to be there, and that's going to – a lot of his production is going to rely on Sammy Watkins. But, I mean, some stats. Percentage of games with 15-plus fantasy points, 85.7, number two in the league behind Aaron Rodgers. Percentage of games as a top 15 quarterback, 85.7%, number one in all of football. But this is the one thing, the only down thing that I will say. His floor is fine safety. Sometimes I like to shoot for upside. Percentage of games is QB1, only 50%, which was 11th. So the floor is nice. He's always going to get you a nice floor. Safety
yeah.
is there, but he doesn't have too many of those games where he gets you those 30 yeah, to 35 point fantasy points.
Yeah,
but for where he's going in drafts, it's certainly a steal. I think he's a QB1. I've seen him ranked as low as 17, 18. That's a big time mistake because he makes things happen with his legs. And again, you're going into your week guaranteed to have like 10 to 15 points just from his rushing abilities.
All right. Normally, I would say be quick on Isaiah Crowell here, but that'll just cut into our next segment too much. But people really are high on Isaiah Crowell coming into this year.
They beefed up the line. His best yards per carry. He out-targeted and out-caught Duke in the last 8 games of the season. There's a lot to like about
Only
Crowell.
Only 198 carries last year for him, and he put up 952 yards. And Hugh Jackson is saying, we need to run the ball more. We can't be throwing all the time. He might get the ball 250 times.
He went from 22 targets and 19 catches in 2015 to 52 targets and 40 grabs last year. I already mentioned the line, the 4.81 yards per carry. Yeah, he can do it all. He's very underrated. I don't think he's a top 10 back, but he's somebody that you can draft and is a borderline RB1.
I'll gladly take him when he's on the board. Imagine if he was on the Dallas Cowboys, he'd be putting up 1,800 yards.
Oh, you know,
that's
sure.
just the way
yeah.
it goes. I wish yeah. we had more time, but we'll be talking a lot of fantasy football in the coming days, months, and years. Falcon football coming up next. We rise.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at RotoExperts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Time to talk some Atlanta Falcon football. Let's do this thing. It's still hard to believe how quickly things fell apart last year against the New England Patriots. Up 28-3, yet we're not here to relive history. The question is, how are the Falcons going to react after such a dramatic and heartbreaking collapse? The fact is, recent memories in history hasn't treated Super Bowl losers very kindly. Just ask the Carolina Panthers about their collapse last year. It's tough. It's tough to get back to a Super Bowl after losing a Super Bowl. It's tough to get back to a Super Bowl after winning a Super Bowl. But to put it in context, the last time a team lost a Super Bowl and got back to the Super Bowl was the Buffalo Bills in 1992. Well, I guess technically you could say 1993 or 94 or whatever. They were in four of them. But no one's lost two consecutive Super Bowls since then. No one's made it back to two consecutive Super Bowls since then. But I'll tell you what, I don't see a collapse coming for this Atlanta Falcon football team. And I sincerely do believe that of all the teams that have recently lost these Super Bowls, that the Falcons, like, literally do have the best chance of getting back. I don't, you know, Carolina had a magical season where everything sort of went right for them. And, you know, they had players sort of play over their heads. The Atlanta Falcons, yeah, they had a great year last year, but it wasn't a fluke. Julio Jones, like, isn't Kelvin Benjamin. You know what I mean? Julio Jones, you know, Devontae Freeman isn't Jonathan Stewart. You know, Cam Newton's good, but he's inconsistent. Matt Ryan's pretty consistent. Like, you go down the list, and I think the ingredients are here for the Atlanta Falcons to rise up once again, literally and figuratively. Now, you know, I watched the commercial last night. It's a new spot. Matt Ryan actually is part of a defeat commercial. And it's interesting. If you would figure a lot of players wouldn't want to do something like that, but it's a great ad, man. Gatorade spot in which you know, Michael Jordan opens it up. He looks into the camera. He's like, "You want to know how to win?" He goes, "Get cut from your varsity high school basketball team." And like it's like all the great athletes, Serena Williams. "You want to know how to win? Try being upset in the greatest upset in tennis history." They show Peyton Manning. You want to be a winner? Try going 3-13 in your first season. They show Eli. Try leading the NFL in interceptions. And then, boom, they show Matt Ryan in uniform, like at the Super Bowl. And he just looks into the camera and he goes, "Defeat." And they asked him, "Why you do that? Like, why are you reliving this?" And he said, "To remind us." And the Falcons, they live this every day. They're not like, "You know what, that never happened, we're going to forget about that." They're like, "No, let's look at it, absorb it, embrace conflict, absorb the pain," as they stated in that video that they did after the Super Bowl. And I got to tell you, I'm buying in right now. The Falcons are 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're plus 700 to win the NFC. They're plus 162 to win the division, really? Plus 162, cha-ching. Their win total, this is one of the strangest win totals I've ever seen. Because everybody out there in the media, and the perception is that Falcons were kind of fluky, and there's no way the Falcons can match what they did last year. But the odds makers are very weary of the Falcons. Their win total is 10.5, but it's plus 150 to the over. You don't really see that type of discrepancy with a number like that. And it goes to show you, they don't want to make this 9.5. So, like, it tells me the odds makers are convinced the Falcons are a 10-win football team, at least. But, you know, at plus 150, win total 10.5. So let's take a look at the offense right now. They're good. Next, take a look at the defense. They're good. They're going to be better. But all kidding aside with the offense, Kyle Shanahan's gone. And it's funny. This is where I hate people in the mainstream media. They're like, "Oh, the offense is going to suffer without Kyle Shanahan there." Yet the same jackasses blame Kyle Shanahan for blowing the Super Bowl last year. Which one is it? Listen, Kyle Shanahan did a great job, and it can't be discounted, the work that he can do with quarterbacks. There's no coincidence. You know, you look from RG3, even, you know, to Hoyer, in Cleveland and now with San Francisco. And so you go down the list, quarterbacks play well with Kyle Shanahan calling the plays. I'm not disputing this. But Matt Ryan's a damn good quarterback, all right, with or without Kyle Shanahan. And Steve Sarkisian knows what he's doing. And Steve Sarkisian came in here, and first thing he said, he goes, you know, guys, you tell me, what do you want to do? He goes, what do you guys like? What do you want to do? And he told Julio Jones, I don't think you get enough targets. He goes, I think you should get the ball more. And, you know, you look at Sarkisian coming in here, I think he's a perfect fit. Sarkisian is very aggressive, all right? It's not like the Falcons are going to go vanilla now or anything. They're going to be airing the ball out. In fact, you know, that was the criticism with Sarkisian in Alabama in that game that, you know what, he got too crazy and he was airing it out too much. All right, so we know about Matt Ryan. He might not put up the stupid, sick numbers that he did last year, but it's going to be pretty damn close. I'd be shocked if he didn't throw 33, 35 touchdown passes. You know, Julio Jones, the best wide receiver in football. You got Freeman and Bradshaw. Lethal. Coleman. Tevin Coleman and Freeman. Lethal combination. It can run or catch out of the backfield. Get this. They combined. I'm still stuck with Ahmad Bradshaw, the Army quarterback we were talking about. The combination of these two combined for nearly 2,500 yards, man. 24 touchdowns. That's freaking awesome, man, from the running back position. As I mentioned, you got Julio Jones. Sanu was a stud last year, 59 balls, 4 touchdowns. Taylor Gabriel, great fantasy pick. He was a DraftKings staple for me last year. Most reliable wide receiver in the NFL. Get this with Taylor Gabriel. He had the highest passer rating of any wide receiver in the NFL, meaning like when a quarterback threw in the ball, the percentages of times that he caught it, etc. 148.1. You know, the second closest was Chris Hogan at 129.8. And I think Gabriel's only going to get better. Tight end position is solid. They got two solid tight ends. They're talking about getting Austin Cooper, Hooper much more involved in the red zone offense. And I'll tell you what, the defense last year was better than the stats indicate. Yeah, they gave up a lot of points per game. But the fact, they gave up 25.3 points per game. But the fact of the matter is, they were killing teams all the time. They were up by so much. So it's really hard to really quantify the defense last year, not to mention the injuries that they have. Trufant's going to be back in the defensive backfield. You have Vic Beasley, who led the National Football League in sacks last year. They've addressed this. They brought in Dontari Poe. LSU linebacker Duke Riley could be a real sleeper, man. This kid's a real badass. Keanu Neal is one of the most underrated young players in the National Football League right now. Neal is a future superstar. Kid had 106 tackles, man. He only missed 6 tackles all freaking year long. They drafted the kid out of UCLA, McKinley. He's hurt right now. He's hurt, but they say he's going to be ready for week one. They've got a ton of speed, man. They're going to be flying around. Quinn knows how to coach defense. And it's interesting, actually, because Quinn handed over the play-calling duties on the defensive side of the football to Marquand Manuel. And Manuel was the DB coach. The players love him. He's aggressive. Quinn's just can sort of concentrate on managing the overall scheme of things. The schedule's not fun, though. The schedule, the secondary better be ready. In their division, you got Drew Brees, you got Winston, you got Cam Newton. They have to play Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Matt Stafford, and oh yeah, Tom Brady this year. Technically, they're playing the 13th toughest schedule in the National Football League. Throw that crap out. It looks a hell of a lot harder than that. But last year, technically, they had the hardest schedule in the National Football League. And we saw what happened. Normally, I don't like betting over 10.5. It's a lot to get to 11. But I don't see this team regressing, man. I think this team is on a mission. I think this team legitimately could be the first team since the Buffalo Bills to get back to a Super Bowl after losing a Super Bowl. They're not curling up and disappearing, guys. Give me the Atlanta Falcons over 10.5 at plus 150. Great value bet right there.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. There's a lot of afternoon baseball today, so only a couple of baseball games this evening. We're going to take the Kansas City Royals this evening. Minus 105, man. We're getting them as a home dog. The Los Angeles Dodgers are on a torrid freaking pace. We've been giving you the Dodgers every day, but I regret not only just only betting on the Dodgers every day. We got to lay the run and a half tonight, minus 110 against the Braves. Yankees and Mariners, man. Give me the Mariners. Mariners are scorching hot right now. They might be a playoff team, guys. Mariners are 7-2 their last nine, plus 115 at home. Love it. Give me the Mariners. A little CFL football. Hamilton still hasn't won a game yet, and I don't think they're going to win tonight. Give me the Edmonton Eskimos. Let's take a seven-point teaser to the under as well. And I understand we have some breaking news. O.J. Simpson has been granted parole. He's going to be released October the 1st. Lock your doors. May the winners be yours.